Do you have an update on the Richard Bukoff status at all?
I'll get the final answer today. It's checked up today, so it's not in line at all.
Okay. Is there any update with Sammy Niku? I know he's been day-to-day there as well.
Yeah, he's injured there. I believe this will be playing tomorrow.
Okay. What was your biggest takeaway from the road trip as a whole?
You know what? I thought it was our month in that we had two really still very much like the San Jose game, 90% of that Anaheim game. I thought we were good. You know, penalty kill was real strong, our gap. We didn't clearly like the first period in our LA game, but that game would be very much like, not exactly, but like the Dallas game in Dallas, where we stayed in the fight and showed an awful lot of resilience. So just kind of blocks of games. So we would say, if I get these all right, but I think your game in Vegas, your games in Florida, your game in Nashville, San Jose, and Anaheim, all very similar, really well played. Like, those were really good, solid games. Then we had some, the LA, Dallas on the road, both games, trailing, tried to fight back, lots of good compete in the game. The Jersey home loss and the shootout might have been very similar to the Columbus game, kind of that first game back after long trips. It wasn't easy, but stayed in the fight. So 3 out of 4 points with those. Didn't love the Colorado, but we put up 40 in there that night. So the things that you would hope you'd see out of your team over the course of a month, some real good play. And we had a bunch of games like that we're very pleased. We had some grinders that weren't easy, but we stayed in those fights. And then we had the kind of the red flag games, and maybe, you know, it was a shorter trip, so we're hopeful we don't have that same lag against Dallas, and we certainly can't against that team. But we had some games that were kind of red flag games that we fought away and found to get points.
What have you seen from your power play since you put the groupings back?
Some familiarity more than anything else. I think the penalty kills have changed here over the last year or so. So that shot from the top is becoming more important. It's a real nice goal by Neil. Scored one in practice today. I mean, we watch those things too. So some familiarity coming back into it. We are, you know, almost in a shots generated per game at the same number that we looked at last year. The power play that was running fifth, our expected goals was higher last year than what we got, and it's lower this year. Like, we're actually just not putting the pucks in the net. The shots are the same, a lot of it's similar, so we think we can get back to it.
I know he wasn't on the list of player of the month honors, but how would you describe Connor Hellebuck's play over this past month?
The rock, in a positive way, the anchor, the steadiest piece of our game over the month, and I'm going to include Lord in that too. Really, you know, really, really solid games his last three, and he played well in LA, very, very well. Didn't get the win, played really good at home the other night and lost it on an 8-minute gap. Big win in Florida, played well there. So include both of them. Our goaltending is exceptionally consistent this month, and the driver, which would be true of just about every team in the National Hockey League, the one requisite thing to win is your goaltending.
You talked in the past about, you know, the amount of shots that you give up, but that sometimes a shot, if you're giving it up from the right spot, it's basically a turnover for the other team. The way that Connor plays, how does he facilitate that a puck comes to him and that he's playing it in a way that it's a turn up the ice for your team rather than, what does he do well in that regard?
Sometimes a shot on goal against isn't a mistake by your team, it's a decision by their team. You know, they'll put a low angle shot on goal that nobody really expects to go in, but the chaos around that is where the danger comes. Just size alone, both our goaltenders are going to knock down an awful lot of those bad angles. They just, as the angle gets worse, more net gets covered because of their size, right? And then that control. And it helped there. We'll go back to the first San Jose game where we spent two periods in our end. That back end, one of the things they've done is that we were grinding real hard in that front. I mean, they've battled on those pucks because sometimes those angle ones are hard to control. You can't see it, especially now you see traffic there, you can't see them. There are going to be some rebounds there. Our back end has done a nice job cleaning that up for us.
On the power play today, Schaefer moved out to where Laine would be, and Laine moved into the middle. He scored on both of them. Right. Is that just a matchup thing?
No, a lot of it is function of how we break the puck out. You know, like Mark is a key driver in how it puts him in the middle of the ice. And there are other times where he's not off certain faceoffs, he'll get to the outside. So instead of slowing the whole thing down until everybody gets to their spots, we'd like both of those guys comfortable in both positions. It also causes a slightly different thought for the other team. It's a different pre-scout for the other team. When you're expecting one guy to be in the slot, he may position himself slightly different than the other guy. It's a different kind of shot. It gives him a different look.
I've asked you about Blake Wheeler before, but what have Jack and Nick done to help facilitate his move to the middle?
What the impact that Blake's had on those two guys is they are now playing the game more like Blake in terms of intensity. I mean, they're in on defensive plays, they're driving, they're battling, and you know, getting a young player not to kind of come in and out of the game. And both those guys possibly were more perimeter players when they come into the NHL, they'd find their spots, you know, Nicky'd give you a burst, and now they're not, right? They're just involved in the play the whole time, knocking pucks down, getting sticks in on pucks. That's the way Blake plays. So those two guys, I think, are starting to look more like him, even though they're built differently. Because they're so fast and so quick, now Blake can utilize his speed as well. Right? He's not slow on the play now. The challenge for a center iceman is there are times you have to slow your game down. And then the coach is yelling on the bench to get your feet moving, get going faster. There's a learning curve there for a centerman on when I got to speed up and when I got to slow down. Blake's got it right. You know, he'll come to a dead stop in his own end if he needs to support something along the walls, and then he's the ability to sprint. But he doesn't ever have to slow his game. Once it's moving north, Blake doesn't have to slow his game down for those two guys.
And then Nick said something interesting today about how Jack is not necessarily followed the same kind of path that Nick did, but just the way that he's had to learn how to, instead of turning off pucks, kind of sticking in the battle. Has Jack kind of followed that too, the way that Nick has them?
It's also true of almost all the young players. And that's the challenge sometimes in coaching, and I understand, like, you know, hey, if you played this guy more when he first came in, he's look at the offense, because there's still the flash. Like, the skills where I've always been there, and they do some really good stuff. But there's a whole big piece to the game that they have to learn, and that's just turning pro. So they'll hit 25 and they'll score a bunch of goals in this game. You say, see, told you this guy was that good a player. It does take time. There has to be some patience with that. You get a guy like Blake Wheeler, and that's going to be true of everybody that he's played with here. He accelerates their growth. Like he is a catalyst for those guys changing the curve that they're on from normal to accelerated, because Nick Ehlers, now I'll give Nick some credit. I felt Nick was doing that all year. I thought right from the start of the year, he's been harder, engaged more, but it's gone to another level. Really, since they got together, only the game possibly in Dallas were they off doing those things, and then they bounced right back after the next game and were really, really good. So we like the learning curve they're on. It's normal and maybe even ahead of pace.
So Paul, if they've learned to play more like Blake, is it an intuitive thing? Are they just trying to keep up, or is there verbal teaching going on there as well?
You watch the bench when the line comes off. They sit together an awful lot. Blake does talk right after he catches his breath, which is a good learning thing too. You can come off the ice out of breath. They do. They are talking together. It's not just plays. It's about you've got to stay on that puck. You've got to stay on that puck so I can go get this guy and Nicky can get that guy. You have to stay on that puck. Don't come off it. And that's what all players, in truth, learn far more from the guy they're sitting beside than the guy behind the bench. We do something different. My job is to get five guys to move together, right? All the little small body position plays, all those little things are handed down, and they're learned from players. These two guys have a great professor there in terms, clearly, in terms of workout intensity, work ethic, all those things, but also how to play off each other. I'm going to do this on that play. You do this. They go, okay. It's a good experience for these guys, for sure.
Should we be surprised by how well Roslovic is doing right now?
We're going to have to give it some more time, right? Nothing's permanent. Mm-hmm. And it's not about superstitions or jinxes. The normal curve for players is they just take off and they just become elite at that age. But he's capable of all the things. I don't think there's any luck in his game right now. I don't think these guys are bouncing off shin pads and they're on a tremendous point run because of that. This is all work ethic and intensity.
Can you update us on Appleton and Bourque, please?
So Appleton and Bourque both skated this morning. Depending on when they come back, Appleton may skate morning skate with us tomorrow in a full jersey. He'd be cleared at that point, and then it's cleared to full practice. Bourque's still probably a week from that, and he'll come in a gold, a non-contact, with a different injury. Beaulieu's on the ice today in limited mobility, but he'll be ready to skate, and he's hoping a week or less.
Would Appleton be a possibility for Thursday?
Probably not. Maybe I would say medically cleared, but I think he's, with the amount of time he's been out, I think we're probably looking at him getting some practice time, because I know we'll get a full one there, and then we'll come back off day after Dallas and get another full one, and that's when we'll probably start considering.
Paul, I want to ask you about two players. The first one, Roz LeVay. Do you see any sort of validation within a player like that who's picked in the first round and is now looks like he's fulfilling some of that promise?
Yeah, and I also think that we will include myself with you and everybody else. Sometimes you lose the patience and that you forget they're still developing. Like normally in the past, a lot of these guys would play in the minors for a bunch of years. Then we went on a run where our higher first picks just played for us. So we've kind of measured all these guys against Nicky and Patty, where the normal course is exactly what Jack did, and then you work your way up the lineup. So I'm seeing the bigger jump from him, and all it really is more shifts at his best. So we've seen his best occasionally, as all, like all players, and then now we start to see more and more shifts. So it goes from glimpses in 1-4 games to, you know, half the games he's really good. The top end guys are going 3-4, and a lot of times 4-4 for long periods of time where he's playing the exact same game.
And the second one was Tucker Fulman. Do you feel like he almost sort of personifies what the defense group is this year in terms of coming in maybe unheralded and an unknown commodity and then exceeding those expectations?
What's probably been good is we had so many things going on, nobody really noticed what he's done. So we didn't have to answer questions every day, but he's come in and played in the top pairing from a guy who really wasn't in the league, and he was outstanding in LA. He really was fantastic start to finish, and we lose the game so we don't notice. But Tucker, you know, there's a guy who's covered a lot of ground in terms of confidence and experience. He just didn't really have a whole lot of what he would do in the NHL, and he just got thrown right in the fire, and now he's playing pretty darn well. I mean, his game is as solid as anybody else's.